The Green Room with Orla Barry on News Talk.
Ever fancied biting into cheese with live maggots or munching on a bull's penis? Well, around the world, there are people who do just that and think that they're quite delicious. Clearly not everyone, though, which is why both have made it to the Disgusting Food Museum, which has just opened in Malmo in Sweden. The museum's curator is Samuel West, and he joins us now. You're very welcome to the show, Samuel.
Thank you.
There are around 80 items, I understand, on display. Have you tasted all of them?
Oh, no, I've tasted about a third of them.
Oh.
And anything that I could taste, I've tasted.
Why could you not taste them all?
Well, some of the items are, we don't have the actual item, like live monkey brain is something that's difficult to buy downtown. but most of the items, yes, I've tasted them.
How did you go about finding them then, tell me?
Curating the list, we started off with like over 300 disgusting foods and narrowed it down to 80. And then sourcing the foods has been a major challenge. It's difficult to find stuff like stinky tofu and fermented shark from Iceland and spicy rabbit heads and stuff like that. It's been a challenge. We've worked on it for the past half year very intensively.
So if you have tasted a third of them, of the foodstuffs and items that you have tasted, which one was particularly grotesque to you?
The foulest of them all is without any question the Icelandic fermented or rotting shark. You take a large shark, you dig a hole in the ground, dump it in there, let it rot, or they prefer to say ferment, and then dig it up again, hang it out to dry, and then you have Icelandic shark. It's not Gordon Ramsay.
Who is it?
Anthony Bourdain.
Bourdain.
He said when he tried Icelandic shark, he said, "It's the single most disgusting thing I've ever eaten," and I have to agree with him. It tastes like I describe it as a mixture of ammonia and death.
Ammonia and death.
And the consistency, just to add some more insult to injury here, the consistency is best described as a urine-infested mattress.
Ooh. So how many people eat it in Iceland?
Well, there's not many people that live in Iceland, It's a delicacy, so I don't know exactly how many people eat it on a regular basis, but it's definitely something they like to feed to tourists.
And maybe they just know that we'll all be so appalled by it that it'll just become a huge talking point.
Or that you have to wash it down with some Icelandic schnapps that's called Black Death. Maybe that's another selling point.
Yeah, I'm imagining the schnapps is a little bit more palatable than the rotting shark.
Yes.
The balut from the Philippines, eggs cooked with half developed embryos inside. Yes. Do lots of people in the Philippines eat this?
Yes, it's a very popular street food in the Philippines. We have one staff member who's from the Philippines, and she says that she used to eat it when she lived there all the time, but they only ate it in the dark because no one wanted to see what it actually looks like.
I love it.
It's pretty. I mean, I've tried it. It's there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, it's sort of that transition between egg and bird.
Yeah. God.
It's. The taste is actually not, I didn't find the taste wasn't that revolting. It was just having this fetus look at you, feathers and all. That was what made me vomit.
Yeah, there is one actually that I came across in Ecuador, which I'm not sure if it's in your museum. The guinea pig that they have there,
yeah.
I think they call it cuy.
Cuy. Yeah.
Is that included?
Of course, it's actually more popular in Peru than in Ecuador. But they actually have festivals. So you raise your cuy, your guinea pigs, bring them to the festival, dress them up in like clothing, like guinea pig clothing, mm. parade them around, and they can win prizes for best dressed guinea pig, and then the most beautiful guinea pig. And then in the evening, you fry them up and barbecue, you know, have a nice guinea pig barbecue.
I know. It is very popular. I saw it a lot in Ecuador, and we did try it one night, but I have to admit that I couldn't go beyond one or two bites, and my companion gave up as well halfway through. There was just something about it we couldn't stomach. Yeah.
But think about, like, what is the actual difference between eating a guinea pig and a regular
sure.
pig?
Sure. You just don't normally look at the normal pig in the eye, I guess, when you're eating him. I'm just thinking of some Irish dishes. I don't know if they made it in some typical Cork dishes from where I'm from. Things like tripe and drisheen, people often get a little squeamish about. Right. And do either of them make onto the list?
No, we don't have anything from Ireland. We do have tripe, but we gave that one to Mexico because they have their menudo soup, which is made of tripe.
We also have crew beans that you might want to taste, but they're quite tasty. Pig's feet, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And
what do you call them?
Crew beans.
Crew beans.
Okay. So they're kind of boiled pig's feet that you then kind of you dig them in batter and they're fried. So they're quite tasty, but they are pig's feet. What about the mouse wine, Samuel? Tell me about the mouse wine.
So the mouse wine is from China, and you basically take newborn sort of hairless mice and brew them in rice wine for a while, and then you get this mouse wine, and it's supposed to be a health tonic, so it cures all kinds of diseases. But the taste, I haven't tried it, I haven't tasted it. But apparently the taste is quite, it tastes like, you know, dead animals. So the important thing when we're going through some of these different dishes or foods is that we realize that two things. One is we like the foods that we're familiar with, and those are the ones we grew up with. Mm. So while we can be, you know, having some fun with guinea pigs or any of the Chinese dishes, it's important to know to realize and recognize that the stuff we eat, you in Ireland, you eat cheese as much as we do in Sweden. Mm. That's something that many people would find quite disgusting, eating that much milk or dairy products. Mm. But we've grown up with it, so we find it's like natural to eat a yogurt in the morning, which many people would find quite disgusting. Mm.
And in a sense, is that what you're trying to do, kind of inform people of the kinds of foods that are eaten in other parts of the world and maybe open up our imaginations a bit to what other foodstuffs are out there?
Definitely. That's one ambition. The main ambition is to get people to question and challenge their notions of disgust and deliciousness. And the aim there is that hopefully by doing so, we will be more open to the more environmentally sustainable protein sources, such as insects.
Yeah, we did. We talked to the woman here a couple of months ago, who was all about explaining to us all the different insects that she'd eaten and tasted. And it ended up being one of her most popular and most listened to interviews on the podcast afterwards. So people are curious about this whole world as well. Well, it is called the disgust.
It's very exciting because insects are very exciting because they offer very high quality protein, very cheap, and they're environmentally sustainable. So if we can just overcome our notions of disgust associated to insects, it opens up a very promising new world.
Mm. I it's going to take some time, but she did tell us that she managed to overcome her disgust, but it took her some months, and she, a chief scientist looking into the area for a long time. So yes, I mean, you are absolutely right. We will hear much more about it, I'm sure. It is called the Disgusting Food Museum. It's just opened in Sweden. I hear it's taking to the road at some point over the next few months and few years. Might it come to Ireland?
Absolutely. Yes.
Good stuff. There might be some more products on display at that point. We're hoping the tripe and drasheen and crew beans won't be included, though. They're great foodstuffs. Samuel,
that's what everybody says about their
of course
dishes,
they
you know?
Do. Mm-hmm. Of course they do. Of course they do. Samuel, it's great to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us here on the show.
Thank you.
Cheers. Cheers. That's Samuel West there, curator of the Disgusting Food Museum, just opened in Malmo in Sweden. Watch out for it. News Talk 106 to 108.